Hello?
Walter Reuther on 9-1.
All right, I'll be there. Just a minute.
Thank you.
Yellow, how are you?
Pretty good, how are you, Mr. President?
Fine. I just called you the other day. I wanted to talk to you when I had words going up to testify on this damned bill, and we took the position that we didn't think you ought to have a bill and wasn't going to recommend a bill, and that if they did have one, it ought to be have some standards and some guidelines and some limitations and so on and so forth, but that if you had it for this situation, you'd have to have it for everyone, and they're fighting back and forth about it, and they were trying to put it in the president's lap, and Nick Katzenbach said that they'd have enough authority that I could wreck any labor union, or I could wreck any company, and I could operate an airline on Monday, and I didn't need to operate on Wednesday, and it just left it up entirely to the president's discretion. He said it's more power than a bad man ought to have more than a good one would want.
Well, these are the fellows who've been criticizing you to taking all the power in themselves.
Yeah.
I don't want to give you power you don't want.
That's right. So we've got them debating and fighting back and forth, and we think it's going to be a very serious thing for the labor movement. I told Wirtz to tell the labor people, all of them are raising hell, machinists are raising hell with me because they didn't want the settlement. Well, I didn't force any settlement. I didn't even make any
settlement.
They made the settlement,
sure.
But they raised hell about it, and I'm the only one that's standing here trying to keep them being run over. But if they can pass a bill on a bunch of planes that are hauling a bunch of rich folks down to Miami or hauling some orchids from Honolulu,
they can
pass it on communications. I told Joe Byrne in August the 20th, and they'll be passing it on General Electric next month, and they'll be passing it on you next year.
Sure.
And it's not something that's good for labor. What ought to happen is some labor leaders ought to get C. Miller to get his 10 machinist top men in these locals and get them in and see what they got to have and what is reasonable, what they can live with, that we could live with. And then we got to tell the airlines that you've got to go on and get this thing out and get to Congress home and not be doing this the last 30 days of a session right in front of election, or you'll get thrown back so damn far that you won't recover for a decade.
That's correct.
And right when we got minimum wage, we got unemployment compensation, we got that report out 8-7 after I wasted all 3 days trying to do it, begging and cajoling and pleading, I finally got it 8-7. But you got some of our friends in here that like to play a little ward politics these days, and they want to embarrass the president, and they're running for office. And so I thought you ought to know the picture, and I don't know what you can do, but I didn't want to say why in the hell didn't you tell me, because I think that any man that's got a union card ought to be concerned when you get tempers where they go to legislating against you.
Yeah. Well, I was before TV in the press yet last evening after my meeting in Portland, and I said that I agreed completely with the position that you were taking and that had been expressed by the Secretary of Labor. But it's quite obvious these fellows over on the Hill, they want to resolve their problem at your expense.
That's right.
I think you're 1,000% correct in the position you're taking.
Right.
Now, I think it's unfortunate that C. Miller makes a settlement that he can't tell it was rank and file.
David Demetsky told me this morning, said, I'd resign from my outfit if I submitted something to him and I didn't think it would go. Doesn't he have the names and telephone numbers of his 10 locals?
Christ, in 30 years I've never had an agreement turned down on me. The point is, I don't make agreements that I don't think I can sell. And if I think that something's right, I go out and do my homework.
Well, I didn't make his agreement. They told me that come on over there, they wanted to talk to me after they'd worked all day. I found out that they were arguing over $5 million. They would, the board in Morrison them was willing to give them $68 million, five airlines. That's not much when it's divided five ways. But they would give them 68, and they settled for 73. So he submitted 73, $5 million. I went over there, and he says they got one big issue, Mr. President, said whether we have an escalator on cost of living. Walter Reuther's got one. And we could have it either have 4% that third year, or we could have cost of living. And so one of the men spoke up, the negotiators, and said, well, I'll tell you what I'd suggest. You raise that third year from 4 to 5 and cut out the cost of living. And I said, well, y'all debate about what you want to do, and I hope you get to a settlement. If you do, give me a ring tonight. So I went on back to the office. An hour later, they called me and said, we got it. And I said, what happened? They said, well, they decided to raise the third year 5%, cut out the cost of living. Now, I think that's what did it to them. I think these boys figured that they didn't get a cost of living and everything's going up. And when the newspapers played it up pretty big that they didn't get cost of living, and they didn't figure they got 1% in lieu of it. And so they just said, hell, we're going to show them.
Yeah. Well, you see, the background of this thing is that when we got the cost of living in the UAW, and we got it in our portion of the aerospace industry, the machinist union criticized us, the leadership. Then later on, they fought like hell, and we helped them get it, and then they gave it up after we got it for them. Al Hayes did that. And now you see they're caught in their own trap. This is their difficulty. They had the cost of living in the aerospace industry as a base, and they gave it up.
Well, you think about it, and let me know, let me hear from you if you have any suggestions or any ideas or anything, and I won't quote you, but I just want you to know what the story is, and I'd like to have your judgments, because I don't know how we're going to get out of the thing.
Well, I think that up to now, you've been doing this thing exactly right, and I think that, that it's absolutely wrong for the Congress to try to pass the buck on the executive branch of the government, put the full responsibility in your lap.
Thank you, Walter.
And that's what they're trying to do.
Good night.
Bye. Good night.